Welcome back, my friends. Chef of the Fat Man live from Le Cordon Green right here at the beautiful Big Green Egg Culinary Center. Chef Eric is testing the chicken. Bob, who this show is actually...
named after?
Named after, yes. It's BFB, which stands for?
Bachelor Cooking for Bob.
There we go. I could have thrown the CF, but BFB sounds better. Shorter, a little more tight. Yeah. But it is also National Cheese Doodle Day, National Absinthe Day, and World Salt Awareness Week. You probably are wondering, how are we always on the cutting edge of all this information? Foodreference.com. Foodreference.com.
We're actually not that smart. We just get it from there. We're smart enough to go to foodreference.com, though. What? When I said not smart and I looked at you, is that causing
that
you
was, that,
some
that's
grief?
You noticed the slight cricket sounds? It almost got Michael the Whip pointing at us, but it was close. I just kept the crickets down to 3 seconds, so he was good. But anyway, this now you have brought the chicken off the egg, and chicken thighs traditionally, I don't know how you do them. I do them about, depending on the size of them, 15 minutes at 375, 15 to 20 minutes per side, perfect, every time. No blood on the bone, right off, perfect.
Well, and basically I had these chicken thighs on for 20 minutes, which...
And these are bone out.
These are bone out. And basically, they're perfect. I mean, and that's why I say, cook chicken thighs for your first cook on a Big Green Egg.
Cheapest way to go.
It's the cheapest way to go, and it's like foolproof, and you'll look like a genius.
Yeah, chicken on the egg. Well, of course, anything on the egg is exceptional, as we say in the parlance of the Big Green Egg world. But chicken, beef, pork, fowl of any kind. The only thing I haven't done yet, and I'm just dying to do it. I was thinking of doing it this Christmas. I didn't. You know, I'm a traditional Christmas guy, so Dickensian Christmases. I've always wanted to do a goose on the egg.
Yeah.
It intrigues me.
Yeah.
A goose on the egg. Of course, I've had good goose, but for every one good goose I've had, it's been about 3 or 4 that were really bad.
So what was good for the goose wasn't good for the gander, is that...
Now, remember, you are the chef. I am the witty host.
Come on, there are people laughing at home right now.
At you, I assure
no,
you.
No, with me.
But anyway, no, so you kind of scrunched up your nose at the idea of goose on the egg.
Okay, it's not because it's on the egg. I mean,
right.
If it's on the egg, it's going to be the best possible. But just not, other than foie gras, not a big goose fan.
Why am I not surprised? Because that is the foofy part of the goose.
Because all the fantasticness... Oh, of no. The goose.
Yeah,
is,
the gut.
Is in the belly.
Now we're not talking about us.
Yeah, the liver.
Yeah, just
which
nasty.
Is what foie gras is.
Foie gras is nasty. And it's vulgar and it's vile to the goose.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So how would you cook it that it's not vile to the goose? I think the goose is going to find pretty much anything you do to be pretty vile.
Well, the thing is, he will have been cooked on the egg. He will have been cooked on the egg and... A goose that's cooked on the egg actually is thankful.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me
just
about
like
that.
Anything that's cooked on the egg is thankful because, quite frankly, it was being cooked on the egg or being cooked on any other grilling device. And remember, as we always say, if you're not cooking on the egg, you're just smoking meat.
You're just heating meat.
Heating meat. There you go.
Yeah.
Just heat meat, babe. The egg, actually, because that's why the goose is... The geese actually prefer the Big Green Egg, 4-1. In a survey taken by the Pew Research, it was March of 2012. Do you know that, Chef Eric?
I did not know that.
Well, see, you know, you're not supposed to do that when you're driving or when you're cooking. Now, we won't tell them what you're doing. Now, let's see if they can figure it out. You're not.
I have to look at my recipe. I have to look at my recipe. Okay, forget it.
Forget about it.
I'm back.
All right.
All right, so here's what we're doing. I'm taking, are you done talking? Can I? Or, you are? Okay, I'm just checking. I had to break out another cast iron pan because, well, mainly because the other one's dirty and I don't have a sous here or a dishwasher or anybody else to actually clean it. So because we don't want to skimp on what we're talking about and have me.
Oh, heaven forbid.
No, have me, you know, doing things like washing dishes on air. We're going to go ahead and start with a new skillet. And this is, again, we're at the Big Green Culinary Center. And they've got an amazing setup here, which is fantastic. All I bring is my knives. I don't really have to do that because they've got these great Big Green knife sets here. If you've never tried the Big Green Egg knife, it's perfectly shaped. It's very ergonomic as well. And as a matter of fact, somebody asked
me. Was that R2-D2?
Yeah, that was R2-D2. That's the same notice that I just got. Yes, that's R2-D2. That's my text tone. I like Star Wars. Well, give me a break.
All right.
Anyway, now I forgot what I was saying. You just totally sidelined me here.
Oh, please. You're talking about the knives.
Yeah, so Michael the Whip Holst had a great idea. He said, since this is a bachelor show, what sort of knives and other utensils do you need to have if you've got a startup kitchen, you know, at home and
you want to impress your guests?
Yeah. Well, so you need a few things, right? Start with going to Chef's Life Apparel and getting yourself a set of these Ergo Chef knives because he's not a paid sponsor. He's just a very,
no, but
very
here's
good,
here's the thing though.
What?
People, the average bachelor does not need a Japanese veggie knife.
Well, that's just one of the knives get in the set. Right. I mean, basically, you're getting stuff that is, I think, better than Wusthof, okay? More durable than Wusthof. I'm serious. And I love Wusthof. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if I take anything else, it's going to be, a Japanese Shun or Wusthof. And I've got a Shun, here with me as well.
You've been shunned often.
And I've got some Wusthof as well. But, I'm just telling you, it's
personal
good of
preference.
A knife set. And so you get that full kit of knives, and you get an Akiri, a chef's knife, a bread knife, utility knife, and paring knife. Those are that's sort of the core of what you need in a kitchen.
Is that like $99.95 plus you get a free set?
It's like $300 or something like that. It's worth it. It's nothing. I mean, it's worth it because they're going to stick with you for a long time.
Well, that's
you can use them for a very, very long time. All right, let's talk about, I'll get back to tools in a second. Let's talk about what I'm doing here. I've got this basically butter and garlic paste that is just sort of sauteing here in my skillet. And you know what? I feel like I need to add a little bit more fat to this. So we'll add another 4 tablespoons of butter. So 5 tablespoons total.
Nice.
I'll have to adjust my recipe. And so we've got the garlic, we've got the butter. Let's add a little bit more garlic to it now since we upped our butter. And we want this all to melt down.
A squeeze or two?
This is a squeeze. I'm using the Gourmet Garden squeeze garlic, which is just garlic in there. There's no preservatives or anything like that. And it's really, we met these guys a while ago, and they're not an official sponsor or anything, although if they'd like to be, contact Kevin at chefandthefatman.com. But it is really a good product, and it's a lot easier than mincing it yourself, honestly. Yes, you taught me about the shortcuts within the... I was always looking down my nose at these sort of things.
There's a shocking revelation. People are totally surprised. Although you... I don't know if it was you or me. I think you were the one that came up with the squeezed tomato paste.
Yeah, well, that's different because that... rather than... typically when you use a can, you're just left with this... half can, because you never use the whole thing, a half can of tomato paste, and you don't know how to preserve it and how long does it stay fresh and all that. You get the squeeze tube. You just squeeze out like toothpaste. You squeeze out what you need. It's in a metal flexible tube, and it'll hold for a year
and it's excellent
or longer.
And you can get some excellent tomato paste.
It really is. All right, I've melted down that butter. Now I'm adding, to make this gluten-free friendly, I'm going to add some rice flour to it. And you can use regular flour if you want to, of course. And we're just going to sort of create basically a very blonde roux in here. And we're going to start seeing, when we add that flour in, that rice flour, start seeing the foaming happen. And that's a good sign. We want to see that foaming of our mixture here. So we're just going to let that cook for a little bit so that the taste of the flour cooks out. Now, with rice flour, you don't actually have to worry that much about it.
That's what I was going to ask you. If people are sitting or scratching their heads, I guess the rice flour for celiac or for people that have to have gluten-free.
Yeah. Rice flour is totally gluten-free, and this one is actually Betty Crocker. Now, the funny thing I'll tell you about this particular one, as I look at the box that it comes in, you notice it says gluten-free rice flour blend, okay? And then it says, and it shows you a bowl of just the rice flour with a measuring cup in it, right? And off to the side it says serving suggestion. And I'm just wondering, are they serving like a cup full of raw flour? I mean, that's interesting.
Now, as far as cooking, as far as baking, as far as, what is the differences between a rice flour and a wheat flour?
You know, they react very, very similarly. And the way that some of these are now designed, this is a blend. So it's got some other components in it to help it with thickening, for example, like we're doing here, and to give it some more traditional properties as regular all-purpose flour.
When we come back, Chef Eric is stirring his rice flour. And we are Chef of the Fat Man live from Le Cordon Green, Big Green Egg Culinary Center, Doraville, Georgia, baby.